Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and in today's show, we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness. Today's show is a special pre-recorded show with the monks at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. So if you're listening to us live today, please do not call in. You'll have a chance the next time we are on the air live, and we look forward to talking to you then. Please stay tuned, and we'll be right with you. Good evening, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael.
Feels like deja vu.
All over again.
Every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday.
Yeah.
Here we are. Giving
what a great
weather
opportunity.
Report to people around the world.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So
yes.
I'll let you know that it's hot.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's hot. Yeah, that's my experience. Northern California, I don't know how it is around the rest of the world.
Yeah, yep, yep. Well, you know, we're on our way to Africa, and at least four of us sitting in this room are on our way to Africa.
Yes.
And we're going to leave our cohorts back here sweating, but it's winter there.
Uh-huh.
And so I have to tell you, I'm kind of excited about that.
Oh, great.
Yeah, they keep writing things like, now bring warm clothes. It's really cold. And I'm thinking, all right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost hard to process, isn't it, when you're
it
so
is.
Hot?
Yeah. It's hard to imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm packing my jacket. Yeah.
Yes.
But we can only hope we'll need them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Do you want to take 30 seconds and talk about Africa?
Well, yeah, just to encourage people to kind of stay tuned. You mentioned that this show is pre-recorded, and actually we're going to, what we're going to do in a few minutes is what we call group,
yes.
Which is a clever little title for sitting around in a group, having a conversation about practice and sort of where we are in practice and what's arising as we practice, and so that's so that people can be listening to that while we're actually over in Africa.
Yes.
And then we're going to attempt a live show, which I think has us on the phones at about 2 a.m. California time.
Wow.
While we're there.
Yes.
And like that. So we will be using all the technology that we can find to accomplish that radio show and also to send in a regular blog. So if
yes.
people want to keep up with our adventures, they can go to our Living Compassion website and
yes.
Just slide on over to Africa Blog, and there will be.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I remember last summer, you know, several times a day on the computer clicking for the latest update.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great,
fun.
Wasn't it?
It's fun. It was a lot
kind of like
fun.
Being there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So it's going to be a very, very busy trip for us. Now, of course, we, you know, it always seems like a very, very busy trip, but I think this one is going to be especially so. And a big part of what we do in the evenings and early in the morning when we can't be meeting with people and that sort of thing is to write up what's going on and what we're learning and what we're seeing and new ideas we have for how to move our projects forward and things like that. So if people tune in, they can stay very current with everything that's going on with Living Compassion in Zambia.
Great. Hmm? Great. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. I'm not looking forward to getting there. I'm
uh-huh.
looking forward to being there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm eager. I hope in my lifetime we have transporter rooms, you know, a la Star Trek, and we just go in there and we take our luggage inside the room and poof, you know, it disassembles us, reassembles us, and we're there.
That would be exciting.
Yeah, otherwise, you know, it's 17 hours in that plane seat,
yes.
which is not as fun.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like the hot weather. It's more opportunity for whining. And
right.
whining with self-acceptance.
Whining with self-acceptance. What a brilliant idea.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that good?
Now, they do have air conditioning on those planes, I believe.
They do air condition those planes. You're right.
That would be the one blessing
to look forward to.
Great.
Thank you for that, Michael. That's a very good point.
Hey, let's do group.
Yeah, let's do group.
So and I believe we have a first participant ready.
All right. So let's begin with Dave. Dave, what's going on with you right now?
Well, this is really in keeping with the Africa work, it seems to me. I've been looking at, for myself, finding the willingness to give my life over to life. I have this idea that my life belongs to me, and that idea has caused me a lot of suffering. Because if it belongs to me, then it's up to me to spend it in the way that I want to, which generally includes giving my ego what it wants instead of what my heart wants. And I just seen recently that that's not what life is all about, that my life belongs to life, and if I'm able to give it over to where it belongs, then essentially life is in charge of providing me with what I need. And also seems to have an uncanny ability to know what I want, too, and to be able to give to me in a way that I would never be able to give to myself.
So what you're saying with that is, as much as ego would like to elbow sort of front and center in your life and say, I'm the real Dave, and this mm-hmm. is what I want, mm-hmm. there's actually, we could almost say, another Dave, a larger Dave, who is an expression of life.
Yeah, we could almost say, like, it's a non-Dave. It's a Dave in the sense that there isn't a difference between Dave and life.
Uh-huh.
It seems like when there's something that I can identify as Dave, then that something is encircled around all of my wants and has that agenda that's just so much smaller and separate from what life wants for me. But when there's a Dave that is really the same as life and is sort of speaking for life inside my heart, then there isn't anything there but what I want. You know, everything that's happening is what I want.
And my experience of that is that life goes from being very difficult to very easy.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Yeah, I had the experience the other morning. We just finished a retreat in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
And we had all kinds of trouble getting back. I don't know if you heard about any of that.
Oh, I not only heard about it, I lived it.
Oh, you lived it?
Yes. So you were having your trouble getting back, and I was having my trouble getting back.
Yes, an hour ahead of us.
Yeah, just an hour ahead of you, exactly.
So we got back really late, and I woke up in the morning, and I was hoping to sleep because, you know, we'd gotten into late, and I couldn't because I was on East Coast time, and suddenly there were 2 hours there that were just for me.
Uh-huh.
It was the most, and you know, in the conversation that ego has, it's often about time for me, and then suddenly there it is, and I got to spend it not in a way that was sort of premeditated and preplanned by ego to meet ego's needs, but it just kind of threw me in a place where, what do I really want for me? And so I got up, and we were down in the Bay Area and just walked around and just enjoyed the flowers and the trees and the people going around early on a Sunday morning doing what they're doing. And it was really, really satisfying,
mm-hmm.
Which is never the experience in ego. It wasn't anything special, but it was absolutely what I needed in
uh-huh.
that moment.
And in that, it wasn't anything special, it's utterly special.
Yeah, everything about it was special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ego would say, okay, well, I'm going to have some time for myself, and so what I want to do is this and this and this, and I want to get one of those and go over there and be that and feel that way. And then so often, at least for me, I'll own this, the experience is, gosh, that was just not satisfying at all. Even if I managed to pull off every single thing on the list of special things for me.
Right.
Yeah.
And what's so interesting to me about it is it's not in any way content specific.
Uh-huh.
So, for example, I had the exact same experience in the Pittsburgh airport where, you know, our plane got canceled. So, you know, we're suddenly stranded there for 4 hours. And I was like, well, what am I going to do with myself?
Uh-huh.
And what I really wanted to do, what I ended up doing was watching a ball game and eating French fries.
Not something that happens a lot at the monastery.
Yeah, it's really true.
Yeah.
And again, it wasn't premeditated. It wasn't something that I thought I wanted. I was just, you know, I did some other things too. I sat in the chapel. So they've got a nice chapel there, which I like to do. I meditated, you know, at the gate. But 4 hours is a long time. So, you know, I ended up walking around, and suddenly there's a ball game. I love baseball. And so I just went in, sat down, and, you know, you have to buy something in order to, you know, sit there. So I had some French fries. And it was the most wonderful. I felt so happy and satisfied.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't about the ball game. I think it was
right.
more about just kind of giving myself permission. There's a little kid in me. I played baseball when I was little. The little kid in me who just loved it. And just having that permission to be me and to say yes to myself in that moment.
Uh-huh.
It was just such a happy experience.
To say yes to yourself and yes to what life is offering.
Mm-hmm.
So as you very well know, so much of what people respond to us with about practice is shoulds.
Right.
Shoulds and shouldn'ts. Oh, well, you know, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't have that, you can't go there, and you can't be that, you can't. And our response, generally speaking, is, where do you get this stuff?
Right.
And, of course, where they get this stuff is from ego, mm-hmm. who's trying to make a case that if you practice awareness, your life is going to be drab and boring. You have mm-hmm. to go sit in the airport over in some corner by yourself. You can't eat.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have anything to drink. You can't talk to anybody. You have to just sit there.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, if you did awareness practice that way, it would be miserable.
It would be grisly. Yeah.
And an intelligent person would quit.
Mm-hmm.
But, in fact, what you're describing is what awareness practice is like. You just let life lead you around, guide you around from thing to thing to thing to thing.
Yeah, I mean, I had a moment of that. You know, that condition came up with a baseball and monk. You know, where do those two things come together? But what I realized is, you know, engaging in that conversation, no matter what I did, was going to lead to some form of misery.
Yeah.
And this giving my life over life, that's how it happens, is basically in giving over the thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So every moment there's thoughts that are happening, there's feelings that are happening, sensations that are happening, and every moment there's an attempt by ego to claim those as something that's mine and make a meaning out of those
mm-hmm.
that reflect this idea of who I am or who I'm supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And in the giving that over, in a sense of, you know, not claiming that, letting those things just kind of go and pass and not engaging in that conversation, suddenly that's where life is.
Mm-hmm.
And life is a lot bigger than my imagination can
yeah.
put together. You know,
yeah.
life can put together something like being a monk and baseball.
And French fries. Let's not forget the French fries.
Uh-huh, yeah.
yeah.
If that's what's appropriate to the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a kindness in it, which is almost almost impossible to believe.
Yeah, and to describe.
Mm-hmm.
So people will immediately go to a place of, well, but how do you tell the difference? Because, you know, what if you get a feeling that this isn't really the thing for me to be doing? How do you tell that from this is something that you shouldn't be doing?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the answer is, well, you do it, you pay attention, and you find out.
Yeah, well, life will show you.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest generous pieces of it. It's like I don't have to think to myself at all in order to figure it out.
Right.
I don't have to go to any place in my mind in order to see what life wants from me.
Yeah.
All I have to do is let go of that, and then whatever life wants from me will be right there.
Yeah.
And it's not my sense that it's any one particular thing. So it could have been something else in the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because of coming from that same place, that would have been satisfying and fulfilling in the same way.
Yes, you could have sat down next to some person who started telling you their life story.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, had these few moments of feeling utterly trapped
mm-hmm.
and like, this is not how I want to spend my time, and then let go into that and have it turn into just an extraordinary experience.
Mm-hmm.
I had one of those, so I'll tell you. not exactly like that, but I too got trapped in a series of just a combination of inefficiency, ignorance, assumption, and all on someone else's part, of course. And so I went through the airlines, you know, is there anything, can't we, what, da, 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 da. And then I actually sat down and called the airlines thinking, you know, maybe I'll get farther. And the person that I got, when she transferred me to a department that's closed, she had the saddest, you know,
mm-hmm.
well, gosh, well, good luck, like, she, you know, she knew she was tossing me over a cliff, but what could she do? And so I went to the place that I needed to go to get the little thing that said that I was on standby behind, like, 15 people on an oversold plane. You know, I'm sleeping in the airport, okay? There's just no way around it. And I walked up to the gate, and the plane was going to Sacramento.
Oh.
And I said, is that flight full? And the woman said, no. And I said, can I get on it? And she said, it's gone. And I just, in my most melodramatic way, threw myself on the counter and said, oh, my God, you know, I've tried everything. I've da-da-da-da-da. And she just looked at me for a minute, and she said, hang on. And she walked over and opened the door. They actually reconnected the jetway to the plane. I got on, and they said, give her any seat, you know, and then she yelled, in coach. and the flight attendant said, there's a middle seat in the exit row. And it was like first class. You know, I couldn't even, my little feet couldn't even reach the seat. And I thought, I couldn't have imagined anything this perfect. Mm-hmm. Plane is taking off, boom, I'm home, you know, in a matter of hours instead of in the wrong city. But hey, that's a minor detail in a major miracle.
Well, and I think the trick of it was you were open to that.
Oh.
You didn't have, you know, if you have a particular idea about the way it has to be, then there's no way to be open to kind of the possibility of life arranging itself around you to accommodate your needs.
Yeah. And the other thing that I think is a big part of it, although there's no guarantee, is being really nice to people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's amazing how not sliding into conditionings about what's wrong and how my life isn't working and it's your fault. You know, that just does not open people's hearts.
Yeah, for sure.
To be kind of, you know, just honest about what's going on and open to the possibility that they're going to save you, it's amazing how many people will leap into the savior role and really go beyond themselves to make something work for you.
Yeah, that's so true.
And I don't think you can be manipulative about it, but if you're just right there trusting in the best of everyone and everything, then amazing how often it turns out that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really true. You know, we ended up in a super shuttle at about midnight, driving around San Carlos with this guy, and he kept saying, this is the worst experience of my life. This is the worst experience of my life. And what I did, and I think it's the same with my monk traveling companion, you know, just, you know, I don't want to live from that place.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to enjoy this experience. It's a brand new experience. I've never had it before to my best ability, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
It was really... It was my favorite part of the trip, in a way.
Uh-huh.
You know, just kind of going along with these strengths, a band full of strangers, just in the middle of nowhere, and just watching the sights go by and breathing and feeling my body and just being there as much as I was able to.
Yeah, and just wanting to take that experience away from that poor guy if you could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just wishing he knew what the choice was that he was missing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. Great. Thank you very much.
I have two things. One is just connected to the. It's amazing how kindness affects people. Just continuing with travel horror stories.
Uh-huh.
We got out of the plane. We've been redirected, and our luggage hadn't come with us, so we had to go report to the travel people. And the guy had a really bad day. People had been complaining.
Oh. So I said to one guy at customer service, I said, do they issue Valium to you folks as a regular? Is that one of the benefits of this job? Because, I mean, I'm standing there thinking, I am so grateful not to have their job. I mean, everybody hates them and abuses them, person after person after person.
He had been there till 3 a.m. the night before and had come back to work at 9 a.m., and it was now 11 o'clock at night. And he was talking about the person who'd just been in there saying, this is unacceptable, and, you know, and so he was kind of going off on how hard this person had been to him. And I just got into this place of really enjoying him and kind of saying, oh, that must have been hard. And I just really liked the guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our luggage was lost, and it was 11 o'clock at night. So what? You know, I was just there. And
we have clothes on.
Yeah, yeah. And then Dave happened to say, oh, is the door-to-door shuttle still available? And he says, oh, yeah. And he writes us out a voucher for free travel.
Wow.
Just, I think, just because we were
somebody
nice to him.
Kind and
we were kind to him. And I I want to send an email to the company saying, thank you so much for the people in baggage who were so nice to us.
Mm-hmm.
Just appreciate them, because I'm sure people walk in there going, this shouldn't be happening.
Oh, yeah.
And it's your fault.
Yeah. And we all know that place of really wanting to take it out on somebody.
Yeah.
But then to just stop and realize, you know, this person is probably actually having a worse life experience than I am, especially those of us who, as Dave says, know that there's a choice, that we can come back to the present and just breathe and let it all go. And Reminds me of the old monk story, you know, the one where the old monk comes back to his hut at night, it's late at night, and a thief is in there. And, of course, there's some monk, you know, what is there? That's why you guys didn't care about your luggage, huh? Just go ahead, take it. The thief, of course, is just undone that he's been caught, and he races past the old monk as the monk is trying to take off his robe and give it to him so that he'll have something to take with him. And the old monk walks outside, and he looks up, and here's this full moon, and says, oh, I wish I could give him that moon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, after riding around lost in San Carlos with all these strangers in a van, I can understand it, because I really did go to the place of, I can enjoy this. Mm-hmm. And I would never have this experience ever again, and I might as well enjoy it. Mm-hmm. It's a great thing.
Yeah, yeah. What an opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing I wanted to say was, when you first started talking with Dave, and you mentioned being an imposter for ourselves, or...
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, it made me think of that old game show on TV, What's My Line? Do you remember that with Kitty Carlisle? And, you know,
I would have never thought of it.
I'm Joe Brown. And,
right.
You know, then they try to figure out who the real Joe Brown.
So right.
And I was just thinking about how that's such an accurate depiction, only the three Joe Browns, none of them are the real us.
That's right.
And
they're all aspects of the ego.
Yeah,
yeah.
And we get duped into thinking that's me.
Uh-huh.
That ego is me, and I want what ego wants, and we get duped into thinking we know who we are.
Yeah.
Because I just, looking at how, you know, in a sense that I live with a stranger inside of myself.
Uh-huh.
And looking at the opportunity to discover who that is and to realize I don't know who that
mm-hmm.
is.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes, conditioning would tell you that you know.
Yes.
And, of course, conditioning would tell you that it's bad news.
Yes.
Right, that who you are, at the retreat I was talking about, the cesspool theory, you know, that deep down inside there is something rank and rotten and hideous, and the best thing to do is just stay away from it. And yes, there's this, we could say, gorgeous stranger.
Yeah, and it feels like it's connected to being kind to people in the airport, because I don't know who these people are either.
Yeah.
Just to come in with that attitude of mind of, this is I don't know if this isn't the best thing that's happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And can I walk into each situation not knowing and being willing to discover what's there?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Very good. We're not just devoted to things going wrong, though.
No.
We like it when they also go well and the planes are on time and everything works.
Yeah,
we're open to that.
And it's just that idea that Dave was looking at of not knowing who I am or what I want feels really important to keep in mind,
mm-hmm.
because there's so much more that's available to us in life if we're willing to approach it with a I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Show me.
Yeah.
Lead me. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. So, Alex.
Hi. Yes, I'm Alex. I'm really enjoying this conversation because I had an experience today of hearing myself say that we were doing a bunch of tasks today, and I heard myself, let's go on to the next adventure.
Uh-huh.
And I never said that before out
uh-huh.
loud, you know, and I think that is very much true, that life can be a complete adventure.
All the time. Yeah.
No matter what we're doing.
Yeah.
And it's one of my favorite T-shirts that I own. Says, it's easier to want what you get than to get what you want.
Mm.
And I can really understand the wisdom in that shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, life presents whole bunches of things that I have no idea that would be the most enjoyable things in the world. And then they all turn out to be that way.
Uh-huh. When you're there for them.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm there for them, and when I can not approach them as something that I need to do something about or
mm-hmm.
have a conversation about. You know, something that's mm-hmm. been a big theme here at the monastery has been not having conversations about things.
With ego.
With ego, yeah. We try to communicate with each other very much so, because communication does facilitate things. But having a communication with ego is not a party.
Yeah, yeah.
And doesn't really help the situation
yeah.
much at all.
Yeah. Well, and I you know, this is one of those things that can sound crazy until you've had the experience. But there is nothing in life that is inherently any better than anything else.
Yeah.
So to be really present to washing the dishes is as glorious as, I don't know, what?
It's as good as it gets.
It's as good as it gets. And people want to say, well, yeah, but if you can be really present to something really, really good, mm-hmm. then that's going to be better than being present to something that's not so good.
Uh-huh.
But that's not true. It is absolutely not true. And the proof of it is that really, really amazing things happen to people all the time.
That's right.
And conditioning just bypasses it in the pursuit of the really, really great thing.
Yeah, well, that's fine, but that's nothing compared to this experience.
Yes, that you know. I'm going to have someday down the road if I whip myself into being the right person.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. which is another great quote, is that being miserable now is not preparation for being happy later.
Ooh, yes.
That has to be on a T-shirt.
It needs to be, doesn't it? Wow, that's good. That's a, sort of a, like, don't postpone joy.
Yeah, yeah, that's mm-hmm. really much like that, yeah. And so that's been what's going on with me.
An adventure.
An adventure, yeah, one thing at a time.
Yes, yeah. The one moment adventure.
Thank you,
Alex.
Sherry?
Yes.
Let's take a quick break here.
Okay, a quick break.
And we'll be right back in just a couple of minutes.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. Coming up next in our second segment of today's show, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious compassionate awareness. Today's show is a special pre-recorded show with the monks at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. So please don't call in today, and you can call in the next time we're on the air live, and we look forward to talking to you then. And we'll be back in just a couple moments. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Today's show is a special show with the monks at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Today's show is pre-recorded, so please don't call us today. And you can reach us again the next time we're on the air live. Sherry, I'm guessing you have a couple more callers up there.
We do, Michael, and we've just slipped into having a great deal of difficulty hearing you.
Oh.
So, maybe as we start the next caller who will speak very loudly.
Oh, great.
We can check that out.
Hi, Michael. This is Melinda.
Hi, Melinda.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi there.
Glad to have you back.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be back.
And I've been appreciating the whole conversation and really enjoyed the whining and accepting whining, because it feels like I've been having just a whole bunch of wonderful life experiences that include pretty much complete permission to just feel however I'm feeling whenever I'm feeling it. And to a certain extent, just say what that is to myself. It's not to somebody that I'm having a conversation with. And it just there is just so much freedom and, there's just so much freedom in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like it relates back to the, you know, if I'm in the airport having French fries and watching a ball game and not being told this makes me a bad monk, then all I'm doing is watching a ball game and having French fries and enjoying myself.
Mm-hmm. And, excuse me, the thing that people get so concerned about with that is if you're upset about something and you let yourself be upset about it, then you're going to act out in some way. And then that's going to be terrible. But there's a big difference between feeling something and acknowledging that you're feeling that and acting out of that.
Yes, and it even seems to me that by acknowledging it, I'm much less likely to act out of it. That in the saying, you know, I hate this, I'm not saying it has to change or there's anything wrong with it.
Right.
I'm simply saying, I hate it, and then I can let go of it.
Uh-huh. And acknowledging in that there is a part of you who hates this.
Yes.
So if that can arise in a context of acceptance, then what you're actually experiencing is not the hating it, but the acceptance.
Yes.
It's like the amount of energy that people put into controlling small children, which could be so much better spent in other ways, I think. Because what difference does it make, really, most of the time, what the child is saying or doing? But when we get into that kind of resistance, you shouldn't do that, stop at that kind of contest of wills, everything just escalates into something really, really unpleasant.
Yeah, and it's the whole difference between really feeling good about whatever's going on and really feeling not good about whatever's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Hating something and just saying so and that's the end of it feels fine.
Mm-hmm.
Hating something and going inside and, you know, doing a whole little whine number inside
And blaming them, and then blaming you, and if you were different, then that whole,
again,
conversation with ego, that whole relationship with egocentric karmic conditioning, that just doesn't add anything to life except misery.
Yeah, and when I get into those kinds of places where it's their fault, or then I'm also just so vulnerable to, and look at you, what's the matter, and speaking to me, what's the matter with you that you're...
Yeah.
So just you step into one judgment and it has echoes of judgment beyond it.
When you believe it, when you get identified with either side of it. But if the judgment just arises and there's complete acceptance, you know, conditioned human beings tend to be taught to judge. Okay, well, there we are. And then, as you say, we're free to move on to whatever the next experience is.
Yeah, and for me, I love that the next adventure, because that makes all of it an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow, look at what just happened.
Yeah.
Isn't that it?
Yeah, yeah, and look what's happening now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So here we are in the adventure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Reminds me of recently when we were going down the Colorado River. And there were a lot of adventures in that, but especially there goes the river. Here we go, you know, and you're bouncing around, and water is flying, and we're right in the middle of it. You know, we're just right there with it, and again, that's not inherently preferable to you know, having your elbows. Being all the way to your elbows in dishwater.
Yeah.
It's just that the one, we say, ooh, this is great, I want to let go into this, and the other one, we're getting a conversation of, oh, my God, how many dishes can one human being wash?
Yeah, and of course, I could easily have ruined the Colorado River by being terrified that, you know, are we going to tip over? Is it going to, and should we, and oh. But
and what
the
if
same
I get
thing
wet?
Without that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Woo!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I think we have Meredith next.
Hi.
Hi.
So I've also been looking at Everything's a Great Adventure. And I got to participate in some adventure today. And the really interesting thing about being my position is that I don't get told what I'm doing until right before I do it. And there's a part of me that just loves that, absolutely loves that.
It's going back to the best part of childhood.
It really is. Yeah,
because you don't have to. Nobody is expecting you to be any particular way in relationship to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Just here.
Well, it really reminds me of going to summer camp, because you know there you go swimming and then you go to arts and crafts and whatever, and you don't have to say, okay, now I have to get myself ready to do that and be emotionally prepared. It's just you just do it.
Right.
So, you know, today, now we make peach soup, now we go up on a ladder, and now we go to the radio show. all great, and it's not the content at all. And I remember one morning, I think you said, we're going to have a surprise tomorrow. And the surprise turned to be weeding in the garden at 6 a.m.
Huh?
And the fact that it was a surprise just made me love it.
Uh-huh.
And that was enough.
Yeah.
And it's just so interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people, again, will get concerned with this kind of conversation that we're turning into these mindless little critters who just get, you know, taken around through life. And, you know, where's your will and where's your autonomy? And, you know, this it just sounds wishy-washy. And yet, that's not the experience of it, is it?
No, it isn't at all.
And it's clearly a choice. And you're perfectly intelligent within that. In fact, I would venture to say more intelligent than we are when we're out there thinking we have to be intelligent.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The other thing that came up for me as you were saying that is that happens anyway. I may know what I'm doing today if I have a plan, but I don't know what emotion is going to arise, or maybe someone will call up and I'll have to do something that I wasn't planning to do. So it's really going to happen anyway.
Yes, it's all the same thing without the illusion that it should be any other way.
Mm-hmm.
Here it's just so clearly and obviously just what it is.
It's just what it is.
Yeah, when we're out there, we kind of pull on that layer of illusion that says, I should be in control, I should be in charge, I should know what's happening, I need to act this way or be this way or whatever it is. It really is harder, isn't it? Because all of society is agreeing that just going around from swimming to art is not enough for an adult.
Yeah.
But it is.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in fact, it might even be more.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. In fact, I suspect with most of the people that I personally really admire, that's exactly how they would describe their life. You know, they would probably use different language, but that's the feeling of just being sort of led around by life.
Led around and then responding in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
What comes up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. Thank you.
Well, something I've been...
Caverly.
Oh, hi. That's me. Something I've really been appreciating, especially this morning, is, and I'm seeing it in a new way, given what we're talking about, but so these words wouldn't have come through, but it feels like acknowledging that difficulty can fall within that same realm.
Uh-huh.
And I don't feel like that's been true for me in the same way before in the past, that there might be some internal experience going on that's really difficult, that's really challenging for some part of me.
Mm-hmm.
That's
kind of along the lines of, I hate this.
Yeah, definitely along the lines of I hate this.
Yeah.
it just feels like there's been a lot of stuff coming through the system lately that someone would call very difficult. But especially just this morning, I was really seeing how if I'm really 100% there for it, it really can't be called that.
Uh-huh.
It can't have that same title.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about it all the time, but that there really can be gratitude for clearly something that life's offering.
Yes, because what we're trained for is these are good opportunities and these are bad opportunities. Yes. And if we're the right person, then we get way more good opportunities than bad. And without sounding masochistic, once we realize that what we're attempting to do is in suffering, then what we can know is, you know, the things that make us happy are not the point of what we're doing.
Right.
The point of what we're doing is to confront all of the things that have made us unhappy and learn how to be happy with those.
Yeah, not only that, but to be happy in that place of unhappiness about whatever it is. So, so there I am. What came through this morning for me when I was working on a project was the experience of not feeling alienated from my own experience, which is happiness in a way that I would have never defined it a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
I would have never called that experience of, this is really difficult for some part of me, and
actually really here for it.
Yes.
And because I'm here for it, there's something I can deeply appreciate about it.
Yes, well, appreciate being here,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Because it seems to me, all of life's difficulties, are a result of, I believe I am a person
mm-hmm.
who doesn't like this experience, doesn't want this experience, shouldn't be feeling. So all of the karmic predispositions that we have in life, there's nothing inherently difficult. It's just that's how my karma frames it.
Yeah.
So as I step back, as you're describing, and see that karma for what it is, then I can only be grateful that I'm now seeing it instead of living it.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely. And in that, it seems as if there's so much receiving that happens, you know, because it's not, because what I usually get caught in my conditioned system is, well, now I'm going to really try to like this, because that would be the right spiritual thing to do. So I'm going to try to have the exact same experience washing the dish, as you pointed at, as I would have if I was, you know, getting to do such and such and such.
Lying in a hammock, eating ice cream and under a sprinkler, say, for me.
That was a good projection. That's how it would come up for me. But it's great because there's the experience of not needing to approach it from, well, now I want to have this really kind of certain feeling.
Right, which is just the opposite of what you left behind
exactly.
a moment ago. Yeah.
Okay, so now I'm just going to do that.
Yeah, I hated it, now I'm going to love it.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Instead, to have the happiness have nothing to do with anything other than I'm not alienated from myself in this moment. I'm not outside myself feeling like I should have a different experience.
Mm-hmm. I'm just in awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And being in awareness is a happy state. It
mm-hmm.
doesn't matter what one is aware of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very good. Thank you. One more.
This is Jen. So I've seen a lot in this conversation that one of the things, especially as Taverly was talking, that I practice with this is that as life starts to kind of move smoothly, you know, as we, you know, the way people have been talking about it in group, let things go, not try to control them anymore, trust that life has solutions, you know, basically allow myself to just live the life that's offered to me. Oftentimes life gets really big and really full and things work and all of that. And so what I find is that there's a huge temptation to then... it's like it's just the other side of the duality of what Taverly was just talking about. So there's the side where things aren't going well and I'm not getting what I want. And there's that place of it gets so bad that I remember to practice, kind of. And then it feels like the other end of it is when things are going so well and there's so much and it's so full that's another place that I notice it's easy to lose consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Because...
Go ahead.
Yeah. Because it's so compelling, like it's so fun and
mm-hmm.
it's so big and it's so... But what I really know and what I've really been practicing, and I was seeing it again in that conversation, is that still, no matter how fun and exciting and big all of that content can be, it's still not, this doesn't provide for me the same thing that I'm really practicing in awareness practice.
And the danger, of course, is that then conditioning begins to slide in.
Yes.
And now I just, you know, I need to control this. Not, I mean, not a lot, because, you know, control is not what we do, but just a little.
Just a little.
I'll just affect it in this, just a little influence here. Just a little tightening down here, just a little, well, there's really no room for that.
Yep.
And before long, we slid right back out there into that conversation with egocentric karmic conditioning.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I just get this image almost of, you know, the screw tape letter is kind of a deal where there's this, it would be ego, we'd say, the force of ego that doesn't care which side of the duality I'm living on.
Yes.
It can work with the content on either side.
Yeah, as long as you're out of the moment, we don't care what you're doing.
Yes, exactly.
Feel good, be a great person, feel bad, It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You're out of the moment.
Yeah.
You're out of the present, and you're in relationship with ego. That's all we actually care about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that you're in conversation. A couple of folks have alluded to how we've been talking so much recently at the monastery about how dropping conversation inside our own head is so useful in
yes.
spiritual practice. It's so supportive. It's so helpful.
It is, and you know, it's useful in life in
mm-hmm.
all of these wonderful ways. I was having the experience again just today of dashing out somewhere and getting about, you know, halfway down the path to the car, and it just goes through.
Mm-hmm.
You yep. forgot your da-da-da-da, and it just stopped right there. Thank you.
Yeah.
Because that there was a time when that would have come through when I was an hour away in another city with no hope of, but instead, it's just a few steps down
yeah.
the path. And if
yeah.
I had been in any kind of conversation,
yeah.
yay or nay,
yeah.
that information couldn't have gotten through.
Yes.
So it's very useful.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so there I am going to the car. Don't forget the dut-dut passes through. And the next strategy of ego is to say, this is so great.
Uh-huh.
I'm getting this information beforehand, and there we go. Yeah, this is good. It's all working, and off to the conversation.
Yes, and probably the chances are good. I'm so excited about the fact that I remember it that I forget to go back and
exactly.
get it.
Exactly.
And then the next conversation is, you fool.
Yeah, who do you think you are? Yeah, 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 exactly. No,
that's great. Yeah. All right, thank you, Jen.
That reminded me of something else. I had this experience last week where I was cooking for the Pittsburgh retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the cooks here at the monastery has talked about not needing timers and just knowing when things are ready. And I had never had that experience. I mean, I've kind of had that experience. But I was cooking last week, and it was pretty high level because there was a lot.
Yeah, there were a lot of people. And
very high level.
And you.
And me.
Cooking.
Cooking about five things at once.
Yeah.
And I was having the experience. I could have been having the conversation of how this isn't going to work and this is too much, but I wasn't. I was just there doing the next thing, and literally I felt like I was being given the information. Oh, you need to check this now. Oh, you need to do that now. And I watched how I was so busy with one thing, I could have said, oh, I don't have time to check that right now. I'm involved with this.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, no, this is not a good strategy.
I'm in this kitchen all alone. Someone seems to be trying to help me. I'm
yes.
going to say yes.
So I would just say thank you, and I would go check it, and inevitably, it was a miracle.
Checking.
I mean, the amount of miracles that happened
yeah.
were just incredible to me. I mean, when you were saying all these good things happen to people and ego would say gloss them over and say, don't notice those,
mm-hmm.
at least I think that's what you were saying. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, that sounds right.
That I was just awed. Like every 10 minutes, I was awed at the miracles happening.
Mm-hmm.
This was just amazing. And that's not possible if I'm having a conversation inside of my head.
Yeah, it's not, because you can only have one conversation. Popular as multitasking is, you can actually only be in one relationship at a time. And so if this is one of those little things, again, I don't know, I bet everybody in this room would agree with me, but it's a hard sell for people who haven't had the experience, that noticing the miracles seems to increase the miracles.
Mm.
And, of course, there are people who would argue that knowing what time to turn something off on the stove, it doesn't really qualify as a miracle.
They haven't cooked for 40 people.
They
by
haven't
themselves.
Cooked for 40 people. That's right. Yeah. But, I mean, if we were going for sainthood, that might not be a miracle that, you know, got you into the queue. But in my experience, and again, I project everybody in this room, as we notice those more, there seem to be more
yes.
of them. Now, have they always been that many, and we just failed to notice, and we're just catching on? Or, in fact, does it sort of speed up when we are available to receive everything that life is offering to us?
Yeah, well, I kind of had the suspicion that had I ignored it and not paid attention to it and responded to it, it would have stopped.
Yes.
I mean, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But that was my suspicion.
Yeah.
And I could see that
I could see that path open to me. To just, I'm too busy cooking here. I can't pay attention to that.
Yeah. And lest people think we're just off in some very odd place with this conversation, what you're describing is what athletes talk about
mm-hmm.
as being in the zone.
Mm-hmm.
You'll hear a ball player talk about playing out of their mind. And it's that feeling of everything is just so in sync, and life just feels like a dance. And it there's a sense of not being able to make a mistake because the next thing just opens up, and the next thing opens up, and the next thing opens up, and people describe it as feeling magical. So it's not, this kind of sense happens everywhere. I hear musicians talk about it, where they're just suddenly able to play in a way that they haven't been able to play because there's a lack currently of that self-consciousness, that second guessing that ego is always doing. And in that absence of that self-consciousness, the music is just able to, mm-hmm. in essence, play itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like getting out of the way and letting life live. And what's so interesting about it is, walking into it, if I was to look to ego, it would be, this is impossible, this can't be done.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? That's probably the way it would have gone.
Yeah.
Because we know the experience of listening to that other voice. Mm-hmm. And suddenly there's just mistakes and snafus all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So it can go either way, can't it? Same process. Can go in either direction.
Mm-hmm.
Saying yes, saying no. We get a natural result from either one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. All right, anybody else?
Well, I think what you're talking about, a word that I enjoy for it is faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I can really, hearing what people are saying, I can really see why people get religious.
Yes.
Unlike us.
Yeah.
Because there's just something that is really satisfying and inspiring about the possibility that we're talking about. That, I can just absolutely give up control and just trust and have faith that life will provide those miracles for me.
Yes. And in that attitude of mind, again, that's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is it really true that something is different? Is life actually being different? Who can say?
Mm-hmm.
I used to hear myself say often, I don't know if I'm really blessed or I have really low standards. But, I am just incredibly happy, and everything seems to work.
Mm-hmm.
And it does. So, if you want a certain thing to eat and that's not available to you, then you can be really miserable.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're open to whatever life provides, then you can be just ecstatically happy with whatever is there to eat, really,
yeah.
really present to it.
Mm, absolutely. One of my heroes is the Peace Pilgrim, who folks don't know who she was, the woman who, I think, for 27 years, wandered around in this country, in Mexico and Canada, talking about peace with nothing but the clothes she was wearing. And there are stories like, she really apparently liked raisins. And, she's at somebody's house, she's got some raisins to eat, and on her way out they say, hey, why don't you put a few of those in your pocket for later? They say, oh, no, I don't want to do that. The Lord will give me, or God will give me what I need. So it's kind of along those lines, like expecting the miracle, not needing to hold anything for me. But just walking out into life and trusting and having faith that what I need will be provided to me,
yeah.
for me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that might not be what I think I want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Often it is, but not always, which goes back to what Carolee is talking about. It might not be coming in a form that I would have chosen.
Right, but it's always what I need.
Yeah, when mm-hmm. I'm open to it, it is absolutely the perfect thing for me right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the skill, somebody mentioned this earlier, is seeing how I can want that.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like that's the movement out of ego and into the place of faith, that I'm willing to want for me just what it is that life wants for me.
Yeah.
And, that's where it's got to be. That's where the happiness is.
Mm-hmm.
Because holding on to anything that the ego wants is just a quick trip to misery every
yeah.
single time.
Yeah, yeah. even if it seems like it's good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if it's, I got what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little rest stop on the highway to hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even on the other side, even if what life wants from me seems bad.
Yes.
Because, you know, people say this all the time, but, you know, the things that are the most difficult and challenging things for me are the things that transform me,
mm-hmm.
the things that I feel most grateful for later. You know, but, you know, I just have no idea what it is that I need. And so, other than just the willingness, really, we
mm-hmm.
could say, to practice that giving over and just, you know, trust that you know, everything else will be taken care of for me.
Yeah. It's an image that has always been with me about this is somebody has given me this giant house, and a lot of it is a mess. And at first, you know, I just want to sit down and complain about the fact that nobody cleaned this up. And then I realize it's actually my house.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one who gets to clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then here I go. And once I realize it's mine, it's a mess, it's mine,
mm-hmm.
and I get to clean it up,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, for me, it's just put on Tina Turner. And and away we go.
Yeah, well, it's doing this life and whatever challenges are presented just for the privilege of doing it.
Yeah.
You said something like that recently,
yeah.
And that really struck with me.
Yeah, for the pure joy of it.
No matter what it is.
Yeah.
And it might be washing the dishes. It might be anything.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a privilege and maybe we might say an honor in having been given that assignment, whatever it might be by life. And, you know, it seems like what our part is responding to that with joy,
yeah.
and responding to that with willingness.
Yeah, yeah, it's a very good deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sherry, we have just a couple minutes left here.
God's pencil, and I really, really love that. And it feels like what I'm practicing doing, or practices is assisting me in seeing, is that I'm practicing being a hollow tube. You know, I don't know, that's not so glamorous as, you know, being God's pencil, but something about being a hollow tube. You know, there's so much information out there in the world, you know, so many things that I'm not aware of, information on all sorts of different levels, and to be completely open and hollow like that, you know, rather than being clogged up
mm-hmm.
like some artery, you know,
mm-hmm.
I just get this image of, like, you know, all junk collecting and
mm-hmm.
being dammed up, and just letting it flow through. Allows anything to come through.
Well, how about this? You could be a conduit for God.
Conduit for God. I love it.
That's, you know, that could even be a step up from a pencil, depending on your point of view.
I'm God's electrical circuitry.
Do with me as you will.
That's right.
All this talk about God is going to make people out there nervous. You know that. What Buddhists? What is all this talk about? What are they talking about?
Thank you.
All right.
It's
Michael,
been a great hour, Sherry.
Yes.
And I'd like to thank you and the monks for joining us all today.
Well, thank you, Michael, for providing this forum.
You're very welcome.
We'll
do it again next week.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you, Sherry.
Talk to you then, Michael. Thanks.
Yep. Good night.
Good night.